Hallelujah. We are in Hebrews still, and it's a good thing. So Hebrews 11, now faith is assurance of things hoped for the conviction of things not seen. For therein the elders had witness borne to them. By faith we understand that the worlds were made. We are getting to the place Pastor Bill talked about last week. We have Abraham, we have Isaac, we have Jacob. You know, three very super characters in regards to faith, in regards to the promise. So Pastor Bill said, go ahead and continue on and preach about Jacob. So I'm thinking to myself, Jacob's life, somewhat of a scoundrel. And I'm thinking, you know, how should I, you know, a person pursuing his own, you know, instinct, his own lust, his own desires. That's how he started. But God doesn't see you that way. He sees you how you finish. And those are the things that are brought to us in Hebrews 11, how Jacob worshiped, leaning on his staff and passing a blessing along to the sons of Joseph. We're going to get to all that. So that's my target, because that's where I'm trying to get to that, Shane. That's my target. If I can get there. His story is so long. If we look at every little aspect, sure, we can learn a lot from Jacob's life. We can learn a lot. We can learn a lot what not to do. Because, you know, deceiving your brother, deceiving your father, you know, being a player, you know, trying to get your own way, working the angles. You know, this was kind of his life. And this is like the life of humanity. This is the way we live without God. We want what we want, you know, and we're going to go after what we want. It's the lust that is going to drive us, you know. And so these are the things we're going to look at with Jacob's life. Let's look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed to go out into the place which he was to receive for an inheritance. This is a key word. The inheritance is such an important word, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. The inheritance that we receive from God. How important is that to you? It wasn't very important to Esau. We saw, you know, Pastor Bill's been bringing that out about his life. It says, by faith, he became a sojourner in the land of promise, as in the land not his own, dwelling in tents with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was dwelling in tents with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That thought never hit me till the other day when I was pondering this again. Abraham was still alive when Jacob was born. Abraham had some influence in Jacob's life. Now, I've always found it important to try to pay attention and not focus on it 100% is not what I'm saying. To try to pay attention to the timelines, who are the players, who's involved in things as they move forward. Because here's the simplest, widest, biggest brush you can paint about the Old Testament. God is creator. He created us to be with him, to be a family with him. And since Adam and his promise to Adam in his seed, there was going to come a redemption that has always been God's focus. That's the widest brush. God loves you. And so, as we go through the Old Testament, we start seeing things happening to make that work. That's all we needed was a man of faith. That's all God ever needs is a man of faith to come up and say, I'll give my son. And that faith that was released God to say, okay, I'll give my son. And that way he was able to provide redemption for us as we move forward. So all those things. I'm listening to Brother Jared. I'll listen to Brother Jared. Can you mute? Thank you for that, though. I love that sound effect. You know, it's God's message. I can run with this. The angels are singing the glory of God, you know. Okay, let's move on. He dwelt with them, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for he looked for a city. You have to be looking at something. God says something to you. What are you looking at? You know, that's what faith sees, the thing that can't be seen with the eye. And it could be relative to your call. It could be relative to, well, really anything. What are you looking at when you start moving? Are you moving in blindness? No, we move by faith. So moving on. He looked for a city which hath a foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And so let's go to verse 20. By faith, Isaac, in verse chapter 11, verse 20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even concerning the things to come. Now, if you remember, that was quite a sordid story last week when Pastor Bill was preaching. How, you know, he deceived his brother to steal the birthright, and then he got in cahoots with his mother, you know, to steal the blessing away as well. And then brother Esau is hot, and he's pretty good with his bow. So you might be walking out somewhere taking a walk, and you might find an arrow through your liver. That's a biblical term anyway. So you'll find that in Proverbs about the man that, never mind. So Esau was upset. So when we get to the part of that story, she says, well, just go with your uncle Laban for a couple days and then I'll call for you when Esau's cooled down a little bit. That couple days ends up being over 20 years. But things happen during that time. So it says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, this is what I'm trying to get to at the end of my message, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was at the end, when his end was nigh, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Faith speaks. This is the godly character. This is godly. Godly to be a man of faith. Godly to be a woman of faith. That you speak. So, all right, let's jump back to Genesis. Oh, come on, Pat, you can work. Genesis 25. We're moving a little slow here. I had a smaller pad. This is things giant. It's wearing my arms out carrying. Anyway, something happened to it. It was mysterious. Something fell on it. Shattered the glass. So I took it down to a guy to repair it. And he just called me yesterday. And he said, I've tried two different things and I haven't been able to fix it. So I'm done with this. I can't spend any more time on it. Oh, I miss my little tablet. It's been all over the world preaching the gospel with my little tablet. So I have to move on. Here we go. Chapter 25 and verse 7. Chapter 25, verse 7. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived 175 years, 175 years old. Come on with me. Do the math. How old was he when he had Isaac? 99, 100, right? 99 or 100. And he lived 75 more years. So he was hanging in with the tents, with Abraham, with Isaac and Jacob, as he continued growing, as he continued to get older. In verse 19, it says, and these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham's sons. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah. That makes Abraham, when he got married to Rebekah, 140 years old, right? You with me? You can do simple math. And the daughter of Bethuel the Syrian, of Paddan Aram, the sister of Laban the Syrian, to be his wife. Isaac entreated of the Lord. Already his faith as a young man, not a young man, 40, is grown to the place where he can speak a word of fruit, speak fruit to her womb, and bring forth a child, in this case, twins. And the children struggled together. This is important because this is on Rebecca here. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, if this be so, wherefore do I live? And she went to inquire of Jehovah. This is where you're going to begin to hear. You have to look. If you need answers, you have to look to God. And Jehovah said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. Two people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people. And the elder shall serve the younger. This is what the Lord told her. Didn't tell Isaac that. But she told Isaac that. Because she loved Isaac. No, you say, well, you're making an assumption. Well, I'm saying that these two people loved each other and they communicated what God had said. He knew about it later on. There's allusions to it as you go on in the storyline. So let's move forward. And so this is the place where he deceives his brother. We went over that last week. Takes his birthright for porridge, for lentil stew. When Pastor Bill was talking about lentil stew yesterday, I'm thinking to myself, nah, I'm not thinking I'm going there. Maybe I'll try it sometime. We'll have to see. But I've had, Tom says, no way. Oh, yummy. Really? Really? All right. You convince me. I'll have to try some sometime. So the famine comes. They're wandering again. The sons are alive. So we never made that connection before because they weren't talked about in that chapter. But the sons were alive when they went. So in chapter 26, verse 23, he went up from thence to Beersheba, and Jehovah appeared unto him. This is what I'm focusing on. I'm focusing on the places where God came to him, visited him, and spoke a word to him. That is what you have to stand on when it comes to faith. You can't invent things. I think I want to be a millionaire. I think I want to do this. I think I want to have a business. It doesn't work that way. What did God say for your life? What are the chapters of your book? You know, you're going to be a school administrator. You can't make that up. Either God's with you. You know, you have to. God has to be with you as you move forward in it. He appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not. That's the way faith comes. Faith comes to deliver you from fear. There's a lot of fear being processed right now. Still being processed. When they run out of something to say, they start lying about something else to be afraid of. It's amazing. The lies, the fear, the deceptions, that's all of the devil. And I'm with thee, I'm going to bless thee, multiply thee for thy servant Abraham's sake. He built an altar there. That's a good place to camp out with God. Build your altars, plant your place. And he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And Isaac served and dug a well. Servants dig a well. Pastor Bill talked about that week. Everybody, you and you and you and you, you have to dig your own well in the spirit. You have to find out for yourself. This is good. We come together. We hear the word. We fellowship together. You know, we can talk about the word. You know, Josiah and I were talking. We were supposed to be practicing our guitars yesterday. And we started talking about the word. You know, and it was like you fellowship the word together. We were supposed to be practicing, but we'll catch up on that, brother. So we're moving forward. Verse 33. And he called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. This is a place where you'll see this as you go through in David's day, in Solomon's day, you know, in Samuel's day. You'll see these places coming up. They have significance in the history and in the document of what was happening. And it came to pass in verse 27, it starts, Isaac eyes with them. We went over that last week, and the deception was there. And in verse 28, it says, God give thee. Here's the blessing. Here's what God said. I'm skipping the story because the story is divisive. It shows you the humanity. But in bringing this message to you, I don't want to just talk about the humanity. I want to talk about what God said. Because that's where you can put your faith on. So God said to him, God give thee the dew of the heavens. This was the blessing that Isaac put upon Jacob. The dew of the heavens and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and new wine. This isn't living a poor life. This is living in riches. Okay. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let the mother's son bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee and blessed is everyone that blessed thee. I'm saying that Rebekah talked to Abraham, talked to Isaac about the prophetic utterance over her concerning her womb and about these two nations that were going to come out of her. So you'll see that these twins, there's quite a few sets of twins here, you know, that come out. And so when you see them, it's always these allusions that go over to the New Testament. As a matter of fact, while I'm on that subject, let's go to Romans 9, because it's really important to see. Paul, writing to the Romans, agonized in his spirit. He was writing to a Gentile church, but yet he loves his people. He's connected with his people. They serve the same God. I say in truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience bearing witness with me in the Holy Spirit. I have a great sorrow and unceasing pain in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were anathema from Christ for my brethren's sake, my kinsmen. He wanted the people he talked to, he wanted them to come to Christ and to be saved. And they would rather hit him in the head with a rock, because he was preaching a heresy. He was taking people away from Moses and the law. He was bringing them to Christ. He was fulfilling that. And then it says here in verse 7, neither. Now this is directly taken from these storylines in Genesis. Neither because they were Abraham's seed are they all children, but in Isaac shall thou seed be called. Isn't that what we're reading about now in the Old Testament? That is, it is not the children of the flesh that are children of God, but the children of the promise that are reckoned for the seed. For this is the word of promise. According to the season will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Not only so, but Rebekah, this is the storyline that we're in right now. But Rebekah also, having conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for her children being not yet born, neither having done anything good or bad. Watch where he takes this. This is enlightenment from the story of the Old Testament, which is more than a story. It's a manifestation of what was to come. And it says here, they didn't do anything good or bad. They weren't even born yet, that the purposes of God, according to the election, might stand. Not by works. Jacob didn't have to do anything fantastic and phenomenal. Neither did Esau. It wasn't according to that. It was according to his purpose. His purposes are what makes the difference. It's not by works, but him that calls. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. She told Isaac that. Even as it is written, Jacob I love and Esau I've hated. Because he didn't honor the birthright. He didn't honor the inheritance. He didn't honor the promise that was given. And that was what he would do, because God knows. He's omnipotent. He knows all things. And this is what he did with him. And Pastor Bill went to Malachi, first chapter, first three verses. How have I loved thee? Remember the stupid attack thing? What? You loved us? How did you love us? Jacob I loved. Esau I hated. And we went through that. So let's go back to where we were in Genesis. Which I kind of lost my place, but I'll get there. Hallelujah. Dew of the heavens, we are in 27. And verse 33 says, and Isaac, in verse 20, chapter 27, verse 33, Isaac trembled very exceedingly. This is when Esau came in and said, hey, Dad, I got me a 6-point, and I cooked it all up for you, and here it is, venison. He was bringing him his porridge, the thing he loved, the wild game. That's what he loved about his son. It was almost like, you know, I'm kind of making an allusion to this. He was daddy's boy, but Jacob, mommy's boy. But I don't think it was that simple. I think it was they loved them both. You know what I mean? But he did more for dad. And Jacob served in the field. They had cattle. They had sheep. They had everything. They had the family farm. Everybody was working. That's how they lived back then. And so he said, he stole your birthright. Let's look at verse 39. And Isaac, his father, answered and said unto him, behold, of the fatness of the earth. This was going to be Esau's blessing. Of the fatness of the earth shall be thy dwelling, and the dew of the heaven above, and by thy sword shall thou live. See, taking up the sword, that's how he's going to survive. And it shall come to pass that you'll, when you break loose, that you shall shake the yoke of from off thy neck. This is, as you move forward in history, this is going to be a constant battle with the flesh and the spirit. This is what we face today. These are the things that are extracted from the Old Testament that move us forward. Verse 43 says, "Now therefore, my son, obey my voice." This is Jacob talking to, I'm sorry, this is Isaac talking to Jacob. "Obey my voice, arise, flee to Laban, thy brother, to Haran." This is Isaac speaking. So Rebecca talked to Isaac again about this. You got to send him to Uncle Laban. That's where he has to go. You know, because you know Esau's mad, and you know what happens when he gets mad. He starts killing things. "And flee to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry a few days until my brother's fury goes away." Well, this is going to become part of the picture as you move forward. Of chapter 28, verse 3 says, "And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee." He blessed him again before he left. I love that. "That thou mightst be a company of people and give thee the blessing of Abraham and to thy seed. And thou mayst inherit the land of thy sojournings which God gave." So away he went. I'm not saying he was on a donkey, a horse, or whatever. I don't know. Maybe he walked. It doesn't really tell us. But he was now on his own. Now you have to think about how amazing this. He was always with family. He was always with people. And now he's alone and shopping for a wife. And he's alone. Verse 11 says, "And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night." He's alone. "Because the sun set, and he took one of the stones," I kind of relate to this a little bit, "placed it under his head and laid down in that place to go to sleep. And he dreamed. And behold, a ladder was set up on the earth. The top reached to heaven, and behold, the angels were ascending and descending on it. Behold, Jehovah stood above and said, I'm Jehovah." He's alone. Sometimes you just have to get alone. You know, we depend too much sometimes on other people. And that's good. Thank God people are such a blessing and have been such a blessing to me. But in this particular case, for him to move on, he had to get alone. That's just, you got to carry your own burden sometimes. And this is what he's about to do. "The God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest, with your head under the stone, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed, and thy seed shall be the dust of the earth." These are the words of God to him that he could sink his teeth into. He can believe God for it because God said it. If God said it, you can believe God for it. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Do you believe it? Of course you do. I'm in good company. Do you believe it? Well, that's what's required. You have to believe that. "Thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south." He's given him something way bigger than he ever thought about. "And thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." The Apostle Paul brings this out in a particular place. He said seed as in one, not seeds. As in multiple. Seed as in one. He's referring to Jesus. "And behold, I am with thee." That's good to know that God is with you. "And I will keep you whithersoever you go, and I'll bring thee again to this land." See, he's leaving. He's just on his journey, and he says, "I'm going to bring you back." He leads him out, and he's going to bring him back. And that's what's going to be his hope as he moves forward. "I'll bring you again to this land, for I will not leave thee until I've done that which I've spoken to thee." Those are such words of confidence. I'm not going to quit. I will never let you. We sing songs like that. I'll never let go. I'll never let go of you. That builds your confidence and builds your faith. God is faithful. In verse 19 it says, "And he called that name of the place Bethel." Abraham was there too. Bethel. But the name of the city is Luz. And Jacob vowed a vow. Right or wrong on the vow thing, you know, if you vow a vow, you better keep it. That's what I'm saying. You know, he vowed a vow to God. If you'll be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace and Jehovah will be my God. Well, God reminds him of what he vowed later on. Whether we get to that or not, I don't know. So he's on his way. Big story. 20 years are going to pass. We're going past all that. Some of it was talked about last week. So let's jump to chapter 31. This is the story about, you know, he sees Rachel. He kisses her. You know, he's wife hunting right now. You know, but yet still it's that promise of God. That's where why he went there, right? To take a wife from that place. He gets deceived. The deceiver gets deceived. He finds somebody that's even more deceptive than he is. That's the way it works sometimes. You know, you think you're tricky. There's always somebody trickier. So anyway, he finds Laban, Uncle Laban. And as one commentator said, he went to the school of hard knocks. You know, and that this is what happened to him. And God blessed him in all that anyway. And so in chapter 31 and verse 3, it says, and Jehovah said unto Jacob, after everything he's been through, and I'm skipping all that because it's so carnal. It's so earthly. And God was still involved in his life, blessing him. He took all the riches of Laban and gave it all to Jacob. Jacob had all the strong, you know, sheep and goats and cattle. And Laban had all the weakling sheep and goats and cattle. God arranged it that way. So he says, Jehovah said unto him, "Return, Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and thy kindred, and I will be with you." Here's just a problem with that. Esau's there. I don't know about this. You think this is a good idea, God? You know, you think he's cooled off yet after 20-something years? I don't know. We'll see. And verse 11 says, and the angel of God said to me in the dream, Jacob, and I said, here I am. And he said, lift up your eyes and see all the he-goats leaping upon the flocks that are ring-streaked, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban has done unto you. See, God sees your work and your labor of love, which you've shown unto his name. Hebrews 6, 10. He sees what you do. And God will bless you. Sometimes men won't. They won't honor you. They won't even say, hey, good job. You probably have that on the job sometimes. But God sees. Do your work as unto the Lord. You know, this is what we extract from these places. I am the God of Bethel, verse 13, where thou anointest the pillar, where thou vowest a vow. Look at that. We did get to it. He reminded him of what he said. You vowed a vow. You said if I'd take care of you, I would be your God. Vowed unto me, now arise, get thee out from this land and return to the land of thy nativity. He was told to go back. He could sink his teeth in that. He could get confidence that God was with him as he moved forward. Let's go to chapter 32. Jacob went on his way and the angel of God met him. Verse 1, chapter 32. Jacob said, when I saw them, this is God's host. And he called that name Mahanaim. Verse 9. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and the God of my father Isaac, O Jehovah, who saith unto me, return to thy country. But I don't know about this Esau thing. But he said, return to my country and to thy kindred, and I will do thee good. He's going to do you good every time. Every time God will do you good. Look at Jacob in his humility. I'm not worthy to be the least of thy loving for the least of thy loving kindness and all thy truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. And neither are you, and neither am I. But God, New Testament thought. For with my staff I passed over the Jordan, and now I've become two companies. Look at what's happening to me here. But that was of his own doing. He still wasn't broken yet. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and smite me with the mother with the children. And thou sayest, I will surely do good to thee, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered or for the multitude. So he's fearing going back. That's his one. This broken relationship way back here really has haunted him an awful long time. Sometimes that's the way with us. So, some things can't be fixed. There's things, people talking behind me. Some things are really difficult to fix. God can fix anything. But if someone wants to be broken with you, it's really difficult to fix that. We have to let God work. God has a way of getting into someone's life and messing around and meddling around in their life and making it right. Yes. And Jacob was left alone. Here he is alone again in verse 24. And there wrestled a man with him until the break of day. Oh, come on. I mean, I'm trying to wrap my mind around this. What a wrestling match. All night long? Who can prevail against the angel of the Lord? Look, he probably was like two hands tied behind his back or something. I don't know how Jacob would prevail against an angel of the Lord. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, that is the angel of the Lord, I won't go into that. He touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was strained as he wrestled with him. And he must have put like a maneuver on him or something. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let you go except you bless me. Jacob had a heart for the blessing. He had a heart for the inheritance. He had a heart for what God said was his. And that's why God loved him. That's the reasons why God loved him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's why he pleased God. He went after it. Not half-heartedly. He went after this angel. I'm not letting you go until you bless me. And he said to him, what's your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall no be called Jacob, but Israel. For thou hast striven with God and men, Laban, other men, and prevailed. And Jacob asked him, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that you ask me my name? This is why I feel, and this is an opinion, okay? I really feel like this is one of the several visitations of a pre-incarnate Christ where he didn't let his name known. That happened with Samson's mom. An angel came down and didn't appear to Samson's father, appeared to Samson's mother. And this was the same. What's your name? Did you get his name? No, I didn't get his name. We'll go see if he comes back again. If he comes back again, call me. So he came back again. So she ran and got him and drug him over and said, this is the guy. What's your name? My name's too wonderful. I can't tell you my name. This is another situation where you have glimpses of a Christ that is to come. So opinion, okay? And it says, I lost my place. Tell me your name. That's where I was. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for he said, I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. The sun rose upon him, and he passed over Peniel, and he limped upon his thigh. So the illusion of that is he needed his staff more and more, and he worshiped leaning on his staff, which would be what we talked about in Hebrews. So we're not nearly finished with that, but look where the story goes. So chapter, that's not quite the end of Jacob, you know, because we still have to get to the place where you're going to have this huge famine and Joseph is an issue. So let's move forward. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, this is how 34 starts. The whole chapter is devoted to the fact that Leah's daughter goes and visits the people and she gets abused. She gets raped and the two brothers take vengeance on the city and kill everybody. Jacob just got there. He just got settled in. He just had the flowers planted around his house, whatever. He was just settling in, and now he's got to run for his life again. Well, chapter 34 is a sordid bunch. And so of chapter 35, it says, "And God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there and make there an altar." God's got him on the move again. Obedience. On the move again. Tells him to go somewhere. He goes. He dwelt there. "Make there an altar to God who appeared to thee when thou fleddest the face of Esau, thy brother." Taking him all the way back 20-something years ago and reminding him of how good he was to him. "Where I appeared to thee." And he says, "Then Jacob said unto the household and to..." Here's where Jacob starts digging a little deeper in his life. Put away the foreign gods. See, we didn't even talk about that. You remember his wife, the one he loved, took the foreign gods and hid them in a saddle of the camel. You know, if you remember the story, they still were idol worshipers. So he says there's a deeper consecration that happens in his life as he gets older. And faith is getting stronger in his life. God doesn't like that stuff. And therefore, he's not liking that stuff. Put it away from you. He says, put it away. And they listen to him. Put away the foreign gods. Purify yourself. Change your garments. Let us arise and go to Bethel. And I'll make there an altar to God who answered me in the day of my distress. And it was with me in the way that I went. So this is all going. He went there. He built an altar there. Let's keep moving forward. From the and Deborah, Rebecca's nurse, died. Chapter 35, verse 8. That wasn't a good thing. You know, she was able to take care of Rebecca. When she died, Rebecca became pregnant again, and she was going to have the 12th son of Isaac, which was Benjamin. So when we were talking about the word, I said, really, who is the shining star? We have these 12 sons because we're about ready to look at Joseph's life. So the next chapter, 36, is all about Esau. We're not going to touch that. All these nations are going to rise up and they're going to persecute and they're going to hinder Israel from being who they are, who they're called, stealing it away from them, you know, taking everything that God's given them. That's what their intention is. That still is. All these people groups are still over there trying to strip Israel of their identity with God and with Abraham. They all call their father Abraham. They all come from him. Ishmael, Esau, all of them, all the nations, they persecute. And so we see that in chapter 36. We get to 37. Jacob dwelled in the land of his father's sojourning, in the land of Cana, and the generations of Jacob, Joseph being 17 years old. Okay, we're in chapter 36 and all the way to the end of Genesis. It's about Joseph, sort of. So the appearance of this is, when I say, who's the shining star, you know, of this family, kind of looks like Joseph. But it's not really. Because we have to pay attention to what's happened. He is a picture of the redemption and deliverance of Israel. How Israel was hidden in the midst of Egypt and sustained. This is why God blessed them. He sustained them there in the land of Goshen. But really, the character that I'm following and have been following is in chapter 38. I don't want to spend much time on it because it's not the story. What I'm trying to get to is how Joseph's life, his sons were blessed when Jacob, by faith, was leaning on his staff and blessed the sons of Joseph. Because I don't know if you ever, I wondered at some point in time, what, 10 tribes, a half tribe, this half tribe, that and that. you know, it's not, you're probably not confused about it because you've been reading the word. But and we'll get to there in a minute. It says, at this time, it came to pass that Judah went down from his brethren and turned into a certain Adullamite whose name was Hiram. This was his business partner, and he was in business together with him. And so, you know, this whole storyline is a really sordid tale. You know, what happened with him? So Judah gets his own chapter here. He is the shining star of the 12 because it's from him. It's from him comes Jesus. It's from him. And you see all these things and it's like, what? Because Tamar was a woman that he gave to his son. And there's this timeline in here is really odd. You have to listen to it. You have to watch it carefully. Because he went down there to do business, and then all of a sudden he had three sons. In like two verses apart. And then he got a wife for him. Her name was Tamar. He got a wife for this girl. So, interesting story. Read it. He is the shining star here. And will be. Because he's going to try to rescue Joseph at one point. And at the end, when Joseph reveals himself, and now we're flying to the end of Genesis, when he reveals himself to the brethren, yes, evil for good. He wants to test his brethren to see whether they're going to treat Benjamin like they treated him and sold him off. Because he wasn't having any of that. That was his only blood brother. Brother from the same mother. As it were, is what they say. So let's continue on here. The whole story of Joseph is all told throughout here. So let's go to chapter 48. And Jacob, verse 28, and because I'm finishing this up. This is where. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the days of Jacob and the years of his life were 147 years. It came to pass, chapter 48, after these things that someone said to Joseph, behold, your father is sick. So he took his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Manasseh and Ephraim. He took them and he said to Joseph, these aren't your sons, they're my sons. He took them to himself. Because there's no tribe in Israel named Joseph. It's these two half-tribes. And so those are the important things, you know, the important things to remember. And it says in verse 8, and Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, they are my sons, whom God has given me here. And he said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. This is what Jacob's faith in the book of Hebrews, where he says he pulls himself up on the bed and he blesses the sons of Joseph and he speaks to their future and what they're going to be. The eyes of Israel were dim of age, so they could not see. And he brought them near unto him and kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not seen, thought to see thy face, and lo, God's let me see thy seed. And Joseph brought them from between his knees and bowed himself to his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand towards Israel's right hand. Well, the story will go on to say that Joseph wasn't pleased with that because the first one was supposed to get the birthright. But see, Jacob knows better than that. He already heard from God concerning the future of these tribes. He already heard from God what to do. And so he placed his hands upon them according to God's purpose, which we had talked about and read about earlier. It's a divine purpose that causes us to move forward. It's what the word of the Lord has said to you, you can put faith in. That'll strengthen you and cause you to move forward. And he blessed Joseph and said, of the God before whom my father Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God whom hath fed me all my life long, Until this day, the angel who hath redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be on them, and the name of my father Abraham, Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in their midst. And this was the word of the Lord to them. This is what happened. He came from this life of seeking his own pleasure, seeking his own will, conniving, stealing birthright, which was given to him anyway. God would have found another way. He didn't have to be deceptive about it. And this is what will happen to us if we live life in the Spirit. The blessings of God will be upon our life. We won't have to deceive or connive to get what we want, because God has it laid before us. He prepares for us a table before the enemies of the Lord.